This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
This year is the year of intentionality. It is the year where we do things deliberately and purposefully. When we enter into competitions without preparation, regardless of how great our potentials may be, we find ourselves failing. When we put our children into competitions or into examinations without preparation, we know that at the end of the day, the result is going to be abysmal. Many Christians are not intentional about the realities of God and the realities of God at work in them. So many Christians, they are religious. They talk about religion. They talk about how they attend services or how they pray. But the intentionality is not there. Let me give you an example. I was a young man, maybe now 37 years old, born into a rich home. I had everything prepared before I was born. Born with a silver spoon. His life was a life of pleasure, like Casanova. There was no intentionality towards purpose. None. And of course, when there is no intentionality, when there is no direction, what happens then is an individual begins to drift. You go to where things are happening just to have a little bit of thrill and excitement. If he's going to do video games, he would buy different kinds of games just to keep the dopamine up. If I was going to start chasing skirts, he would chase skirts until he begins to get into trouble with skirts. If he was going to go into fast car driving, he would do so until he has several accidents. Because again, a life without intentional pursuit is a life that has no direction. There is nothing to look forward to, no goal to set, no direction to go. And so, for PSSBC School 27 last year, the father of this young man put him into PSSBC. 3 months course, made him a promise that if he would listen to all the classes, he doesn't have to believe in Jesus. Well, I was not born again. You don't have to believe in Jesus. Just listen to all the classes. Be there for the 9 p.m., 2 hours a day. Just do that for me. At the end of 3 months, when you finish, I will set you up in your own house. Now, that's a 7-year-old man that has no house of his own, has no family of his own, just living for joy, for pleasure. He has gone to school, graduated, but couldn't keep a job. He had money. And the father wouldn't dare restrict his assets. Father was afraid that if I stop him from having money, he would go into deviant behavior and he could go into drugs and all that. So there's a certain lifestyle he has to keep. So the father was intentional about, okay, how do I change this young man's life? And don't put him in PSSBC. And of course, the father did not know me. He knew me, but he didn't tell me ahead of time. He didn't want me to pay attention to that young man. He just wanted me to teach my class the way I know how to teach it. So I taught the class for 3 months. Young man graduated. Not once did he write on the platform. Not once did he send me a message. I didn't even know I attended the class. I had no idea. And then Christmas came. This man writes to me and says, "Brother Benga, I want to sponsor 50 students for PSSBC next cohort. I was like, why? 50 students is a lot. Well, I'm not looking for money. I didn't start teaching PSSBC because I was broke. No, no, no. And I do not want anybody with bulk money like that. There's a way I look at things. Money is not central to how I think. I want to be sure that my students will attend, and I want to be sure that they will pay attention in class, and I want to be sure that their lives will change. And of course, there are some people that are either BSSBC that their lives didn't change. I can say that anyway. I'm not ashamed of the fact that there are some that their lives remain the way it was, or maybe even got worse. But there are majority. I can boast of 80%. I can boast of 75% over the years, per 3 months, whose destinies will change. And so I don't want anybody just bringing in 50 people who wouldn't be serious, who wouldn't focus, who would just attend because somebody wanted them to attend. I didn't want that. I wanted intentionality. Do you want to be there? Are you going to be there? Are you going to pay attention? Normally, we'll get to class, we'll fight at the beginning. All of us will diffuse our ideas. We will push and pull and push and pull until eventually we settle on a rhythm. And then from there, we begin to build upon the blocks of thoughts, intentionally laid blocks of thoughts that will then lead to a transformed life. So this man then shares his testimony with me of how his son, a day to Christmas, in his own room by himself, gave his life to Christ, began to speak in tongues, and then comes to him on Christmas Eve and says to him, "Daddy, you know what? All my life, I never understood that life has a meaning. I just wake up and live. But something happened to me after that PSSBC. It has been with me. And suddenly now I can see the Lord. I can hear from the Lord. And this is what I want to do with my life." And the father was shocked that the young man could articulate his own thoughts so clearly. And the focus of his life, he could get it. And then it seems like now he is prepared for the future. The father looked at him and the father said, from the way he spoke and from his attitude, Ragbinga, I can now say that I have a son that, if I die tomorrow, will not just waste the inheritance of many generations. That for the first time I could see intentionality, I could see purpose in my son's life. Now, again, 37 years of trying to show him, trying to groom him, put him in the best school, send him to school abroad and all that. And it didn't do the work. But there's something about God and how God would like us to see things and act in this season. So before I leave that thought, the offer for 50 students is open. The man has told me that I should announce it, so that those who want to have people attend PSSBC can just ask them to sign up. However, I have my conditions. If anybody is going to come to PSSBC, if they don't attend class, since many of them have been paid for, I will remove them without second thoughts. If you bring anybody and you say, come attend PSSBC for free, and then the person just comes to stack up numbers, by the grace of God, I will unstack the numbers. I do not have time in this life to waste on those who will not pay attention to their own well-being. So if you are going to bring anybody for free, you have to tell them they have to be intentional about their lives, they have to attend classes, and they have to be there. Otherwise, I would rather just the man keep his money and I teach 5 people. If I'm sure of the result I want, that's all I want. Okay, so let me move on to my second thought. When we move into 2026, all of us, we must understand that it is a prepared year. This year had been carefully prepared by the Lord for the saints. We are not just coming into chaos. There is a table that has been laid before us in the presence of the whole world. There is a cup that is overflowing, and there is oil that is available. All these are carefully planned. They were carefully planned and orchestrated before we rolled into 2026. We are not coming to help the Lord prepare for the year. We are coming into a prepared year. However, according to the scriptures, you can come to a prepared feast and be unprepared. So, one of the detailed preparation of a feast is the attention to even what the guests will wear. So if you look at the scriptures, you see when that king called for a feast, he didn't just tell them, prepare the fattened calf, prepare the hall. Then people can come dressed anyhow. No, he also said, prepared for them what they would wear. So preparation is complete. It means adequate attention was paid, not only to the guest list, but even to what the guest must wear. I remember watching the British royal family having a burial recently, that's Queen Elizabeth burial. And I noticed how all the celebrities they brought in from the world dressed. They didn't dress like that by mistake. These people knew about 1 billion eyeballs would be watching them. And they always caught attention. Therefore, normally they would dress in such a way that it would enhance their brand. But for them to attend this royal event, they were given a dress code. So this is what you must wear. Otherwise, don't come. See, when they did the royal wedding too, same thing. This is how you must dress, otherwise stay away. So again, the one who is calling you for a feast, the one who prepared the table, also insists that there is a way you must prepare yourself to fit into his agenda. Don't forget this. And it is important that you learn the art of preparation so that when you get to the feast, you will fit in and you will comport yourself, you will speak well, you know your table manners, you know how to sit, you know where to sit, you understand the dynamics of power in the room, and you understand where to pander to and where not to pander to. It is part of the mental process of making sure that everybody that attended an event or a feast would behave themselves in the most comely manner. So when you have unprepared guests, you see people fighting at, you would have prepared a royal feast. Suddenly somebody will get drunk. Somebody will give somebody a blow. And then they will ruin the whole party. That's what you have when you have a prepared house, a prepared food, you have the best caterer, but your guests are unprepared. You begin to see people with anger and malice, speaking to each other bitterly. Many of us would have witnessed once or twice when we have like family parties. And then after the family event, the family will be even more scattered because of what happened at a party. A party was supposed to bring the family together. And then when they come together, they are supposed to spend money, rejoice, celebrate, delight in each other, live with good memories. But many cases, because the guests are unprepared, you see, they would call a party. Maybe their mother is clocking 90 or 70, or they are doing this, they are doing that, and then they will say, we want to have a party, and then they will put in money, they will put in the effort, but they will not prepare themselves. Then they come to the party, and this one will say, this one's husband did not greet me. That one will say, the last time I saw this one, he was doing this. And then you will notice that after the party, they go away worse off than where before they came. And that wasn't meant to be the purpose of a prepared party. When you have a good party, you must be so well prepared in such a manner that those who came, not only would they think right, even if they had scores to settle from the past, that party would be the place where they would say, come on, let's bury the hatchet, let this feud go, let's forgive each other. So again, when you don't prepare people for a prepared party, you are going to get all sorts of rancorous behavior. And then at the end of the party, you are going to be worse off. You are going to be like, why did I spend this much money? Why would I spend this kind of money on this party? And then at the end of the party, everybody is just full of hatred and bitterness. We are supposed to become more cohesive. Rather, we are scattered, we disintegrated. And that is because you prepared the feast, you prepared the people, you prepared the food, but you didn't prepare the people. All right, so you get the idea. The people have to be prepared. It is a must to prepare the people. And in order to prepare the people, each individual must prepare himself. So you see in the scriptures where God wanted to visit the camp of the children of Israel in the book of Exodus, and Moses said to them, arise, O Israel, consecrate yourself, prepare yourself. The Lord is going to visit your camp. Imagine that. He gave them 3 days to prepare themselves, to clean up. He said, clean up your clothes, clean up your environment. God is coming for a visit. Why? Because if somebody comes to visit you impromptu, for example, if I show up in your house now, you'll be like, Kabbalah, God, we are not prepared to receive you. Oh my God, I have only bread at home. In fact, I have sandwich. Oh my God, if you had told us we are coming, we will have prepared something, you see? Because again, if you are not given the room to prepare, most likely you would fall short of your normal or natural level of a delivery. But if you are given room to prepare, you then must not dare to fail. See? Because God will then give them room to prepare. Say, hey, I give you 3 days. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. I'm coming to visit you in 3 days' time. So whatever you need to do to make sure you are at your best, you have to do that. Because if it comes impromptu, you might catch yourself empty-handed or unable to deliver the goodness that is in your heart. And so it is important that as we come into this year, you have a mindset that you are coming to a prepared table and that the only entity you have to work on is yourself. Because a lot of us, God give me, in our mental picture, we are just receivers. A lot of us, I see the attitude, when I see it, I see this is why this person is not prospering. When I see the attitude, there are a lot of people like that. They think like beggars. A deliberately intentional person who is intentional in his thinking knows that if he's coming to a prepared table with a prepared feast, if he would only prepare himself, he will eat more than enough. He will even take away some good meal. Why? Because he came prepared. But those who don't come prepared, they will just beg, just give me something to eat. Oh, I'm not well dressed. Let me just eat in the kitchen. Oh, let me go and eat the leftovers. You will then realize that it's because they are not prepared for the feast. So prepare for the feast. Now, I believe I've spoken in some abstract manner. So let's do practicals. If you notice this year, last year, that your finances were worse off, oh my God, I'm not doing well financially, you have two options. You can go into this year, continue to do hit and miss, jump into this venture, jump into that venture. Another person is doing something, jump on it, be looking for money that will just appear out of nowhere. Or you can sit down and look at yourself and say, hey, how much came in? How much did I spend? Okay. Where is my pocket leaking? Okay. Plug it. All right, how do I make money now? What am I good at? What can I deliver? Okay, which relationship should I strengthen? Which one should I let go of? It is important that every one of us do that. I mean it, that every one of us, that you intentionally, to make yourself better, that you intentionally think through. Don't think the way you used to think before, especially if your previous thinking led you here. Then you have to say, hey, there's something I have to change about myself. All of us have room for improvement. I speak also to myself. Again, be intentional. You are in a marriage and your marriage is floundering. Maybe you have resentment against your husband, against your wife, unforgiving issues. You have a lot of things that have been said, maybe to your parents, your grandparents, or your wife has been rude to somebody, or somebody has been rude to somebody. And every time you want to talk, you say, hey, that's how I did it last year. That's it. It's time to then intentionally purge yourself of all these things. There is nothing to gain by amassing poison in your system. If you carry on resentment over and over and over in your marriage, you'll become bitter, you'll become less productive, you open yourself to sicknesses and diseases, you find yourself suffering from things children suffer out from, and at the end of the day, you'll realize that all the things you have stacked together have now become your own worst enemies. Purge yourself of these things. That is part of preparation. Part of preparation. You notice that spiritually, last year, you were at a level. You are praying a lot, but the results are not showing. Sit down. Sit down. Look at it. I did it several years ago. I still do it. When I look at how much I pray, and I look at how little my result was, I told myself, it is not for lack of prayer. It is for lack of wisdom here. I'm not putting into practice the things that I should be putting into practice. I'm expecting God to do things because I pray. So, and that's not how it works. A person who prays, prays so that he is empowered to do things. Many of us pray so that we think by praying, we are empowering God to do things for us. That wrong mindset is the reason many people pray, 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 and they have nothing to show for their lives. I don't do that. I pray, and then I receive power. That's what the Bible says, you shall receive power. I pray, and in the place of prayer, I receive the power to do the things that I ought to do, which natural strength wouldn't have empowered me to do. You see, it is not so difficult. It is easy to understand the spiritual principles and put them to work. So, I wouldn't want anybody to say about me, like they said about some of my previous pastors that I work with. Ah, he's a prayer machine. That brother can pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but we don't see the result in his life. I told myself, nobody will ever say that about me. If you see me venture into something, within a short time, you will see the hallmark of excellence. It has to be there because, again, empowered to do, that means you must do. Not that you'll be saying, Father, bless me. Father, hold that to me. Bless me. Okay. Okay. Be saying it. Money will not come. Blessing will not come by speech. When you homologia, when you speak, you must then do. You must make brutal decisions. I mean brutal. You must make brutal decisions. Like, okay, I have prayed. The Lord has given power. Okay, what am I supposed to do? This business, I'm doing it. And then somebody cannot come and take again. You cannot allow it. I do not. That's okay. You now have a business partner. And then after I have prayed, I've put in all the work, this person now comes wants to sabotage the business or more. I would put you on a wheelchair within 2 minutes. Like you will just go. And I mean it. I do not. Again, I'm very set on the course I must follow for my life. And so all the sentiment that other people would entertain, you know, I joined many business platforms where I'm looking at their businesses and I say, this person has to be sacked. They say, oh, but I've been there. He has been with us for 11 years. Is that the person is sacked or I take out my investment? And they will sack the person. I do not think twice about such things. Again, I've learned to cut the weaknesses and to stay on the strength. It doesn't mean I'm not charitable. It just means I've learned that if I'm going to be like God, things got to get done. And you must also come to that place. So, well, I have very short fuse for those who are just full of sentiment with no results, living their life off the cuff of the wind. Like the book of Ecclesiastes said we have a bride who is getting married but has no breasts. Many of us will laugh when I was young at that parable. But as I grew older, I realized it. If you are going to live a life that is purposeful and successful in this world, being full of the Holy Spirit, being born again Christian, if you cannot grow a spine and make critical decisions, you are going to live your life like a mere man. You must have a spine. You must. You are not empowered to be weak. In your own strength, you are weak. Now you have prayed, you have received the Holy Ghost, you are speaking in tongues, you receive divine direction, and then you lack the strength to execute it. My God. You lack the strength to let go of bad friends. You are saying, oh, this person is all sentimental rubbish. Stay there. That is how your life will remain. And once your life remains like that, nobody can help you. Even I will just be waving at your destiny like this. As it is going to the south, I will say, bye-bye. It's the truth. Because sentimental decisions destroys. You must be pragmatic in certain places. Of course, that doesn't take away your charitableness, doesn't take away your hearts and all the softness that comes with grace. I'm talking business here. I'm talking life-defining, destiny-defining decisions. The Bible said that Elijah went on Mount Carmel, and when he got there, he prepared the altar. There was an altar before. He said, no, I don't want this one. Prepare a new altar for me with unbroken stones. Not ones that hands have touched and have adjusted. Unbroken. Then he brought in all the things he needed. Put in water. Dug the trenches. Put in water. When he did the preparation right, what happened? The Bible said fire fell. You see, inadequate preparation, lack of preparation does not allow the fire to fall. And then you would find your altar cold and unproductive. You must prepare. You must prepare. If you prepare adequately, the moment that fire will fall this year, it will fall so strong, it will change the trajectory of your life totally. You will find yourself elevated from 0 to 100. You'll be like, my God, the growth was not gradual. It was phenomenal. Why? Because you prepared. And that means making decisions and not floundering. A lot of us will flounder unnecessarily. Do not flounder. Stay on course. Prepare. Work on yourself. Don't work on God. Don't work on your neighbor. Work on yourself. If you work on yourself, you work on decision making, you work on your relationships, you work on your friendship, you work on the weaknesses around you and the strength, and you do it properly. When this feast opens and you sit, you'll be ready. And you have more than enough. There are too many things to be blessed with this year than for you to squander them with your human frailties. It is the year of preparation, the year of intentionality, and the year of glory and grace. Glory to God. I bless you. We still have two more services. I have more to say. If you want to join, you are free to join. If you are blessed, please submit and shout, glory.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.